As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures and to hear the word read and proclaimed. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke today, verses 67, 68 through 79. Luke 1, 68 through 79. Before I read, let us pray. God, we love you. And we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this space, coming from so many different places, so many experiences, so many joys and challenges as we come together as a community, supporting one another, walking with one another on this Christian journey. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed. We might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being raised from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Throughout this little series during the Advent season, we're looking at this series, as Anna mentioned last week, The Weary World Rejoices. There's different promises. Last week was the promise of truth, and we celebrated the candle of hope. Today is the promise of compassion, as we celebrate the candle of peace. Compassion and empathy. Compassion in Latin means to suffer with. To suffer with. Compassion and empathy can be thought of as existing on a spectrum along with sympathy. Sympathy focuses on thoughts. We say, my thoughts and prayers are with you. We like to say that whenever we read of someone who's lost a family member, my thoughts and prayers are with you, providing sympathy for those folks. Empathy adds feelings, like you've embraced the feeling of what they must be going through. And compassion encompasses thoughts, feelings, and actions. We have the opportunity to show compassion to one another in so many ways. And this means that we no longer just say, my thoughts and prayers are with you, but we are actually with them, with the hurting, and with the struggling, and with the sick, and with the cold, and with the hungry, and with the oppressed, to be present with them in love, support, and action. On Thursday and Friday night, I was thoughtfully and prayerfully selected, I think, to go on an overnight sleepover with Ben's fifth grade class. And I was there with a bunch of fifth graders in the cold weather and with uncomfortable beds and chaperoning a cabin with 45 fifth grade rambunctious boys. It was an exhausting 36 hours as I suffered with the teachers and other adults to care for these students. Yesterday was another fun day. I was able to go out and support my son as in the midst of sub-50 degree weather and rain as he played soccer. Suffered with him through two very tough games. After the earlier questioning of God on the pregnancy of Elizabeth and disbelief, we see the angel mute Zechariah. After he questioned, how can this be? Later, after the child is born and named John, Zechariah's mouth is freed and he's able to speak again. And today's scripture is called the Benedictus, in which priest Zechariah thought through this two-part hymn that speaks of prophecy, praise, and blessing. It moves us to the unfathomable moment of peace. In the first part of this scripture for today, Zechariah speaks of the prophecy using terms throughout the hymn of from of old and holy covenant and to our ancestors, moving people from this old to new era. In the second part, Zechariah sings in praise and blessing of God's faithfulness, not only through the gift of this child and his old age, but that the child will prepare a way for all of God's people to be saved. Zechariah's song, like Advent, celebrates this new era to be brought in by the incarnation. Baby John will be the bridge between the law and the fulfillment. The prophet will proclaim the Messiah's presence, the one who is the ultimate showing of compassion and love for the world. Both Mary and Elizabeth, throughout their pregnancies, were fully present in the moments and months of expecting and delivering and raising Jesus and John. They didn't run from their moment to show compassion, but said, "Yes, Lord," and lived into the promise. Henry Nouwen says their waiting was active. Unlike so much of our waiting, which is merely wishful and passive and full of doubt, they were active. We can often zone out from our day-to-day waiting, thinking that it's not possible. Maybe not even believing that good things can happen. But Mary and Elizabeth lived into their situation in full belief that something hidden and unexpected would manifest itself in them. You see, when we follow God into these tough situations, we find peace knowing that as we suffer with others, God works within us to do something new as we grow from that experience. For now, and he said, active waiting means to be fully present in the moment, in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present for it. That's active waiting. God comes to us in moments that we're just going about our business. We're just going about our day-to-day life, and God comes to us and stirs something up and new within us. And we have to patiently continue to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit that is at work today to convict us and transform us through people and places in which our eyes and our hearts must be attuned to see and feel. What an opportunity we have during Advent. Not to just jump to the manger, but to sit waiting and wondering in the delight of what God has done and is still doing today. The promises that are to come, promises that might look unlike anything that we have planned. I know that's what happened to me last Advent. You know, when Jesus saw someone suffering, he wept with them and came to their aid. He talked with the excluded and the marginalized and ate with outcasts, and there was no one whose illness or status rendered them unapproachable or untouchable. Over and over again, our Lord Jesus felt compassion on people, healing them and comforting them. And this is the kind of radical compassion that says, I'm not just here to help you, but I'm here to be with you. Nurse and writer Christy Watson describes the kindest nurse, is described as the kindest nurse in all of Britain, who served people who rather who others would rather not acknowledge, let alone care for. And someone came to her and asked her, how does she do it? And she said, well, we don't have time to judge them, the kindest nurse described, because if we're busy judging them, we don't have time to love them. That's compassion. Father Greg Boyle, who runs Homeboy Industries, states a certain kind of compassion that stands in awe at what the poor have to carry instead of judgment at how they carry it. For the measure of compassion lies not in the service of those on the margins, but in our willingness to see ourselves in kinship with them and mutuality. That's compassion. And I realize that all of us can't be Nurse Christie or Father Boyle, but what can compassion look like for us regular folk? In 2015, when a 9-year-old Marley Pack had to undergo chemotherapy after she was diagnosed with a rare form of soft tissue cancer, she finally was able to go back to school, and she was worried that she would be the only one with a shaved head. To show compassion that she was not alone, her friend Cameron McLaughlin shaved her head too in solidarity. And following that act of kindness, 80 more students and teachers of the elementary school in Colorado also shaved their heads in an event called Be Bold, Be Brave, Go Bald. They raised over $25,000 for an organization called St. Baldrick's Foundation. Other examples of compassion means offering to help someone in need, aiding someone with a task, helping someone clean their house, going grocery shopping with those without a car, volunteering for a cause, your time, skills, and effort to things that you care about. Sometimes it means donating money or resources to an organization that helps people or volunteering to provide more hands-on assistance. Saw that even just last week with Drive a Senior and providing cookies. Listening and being patient with others is a way of compassion. Listening to the concerns and experiences of others and extending greater patience as a result. Listening to someone about their recent challenges or giving someone more time to work on a project because of something that's been going on in their personal life. Forgiving others. We read and hear in the scripture for today about to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Forgiving others is a way to show compassion. Those who have wronged you. While empathy might allow you to understand what they have experienced, compassion causes you to want to take action and forgive, extending forgiveness to others. This Advent, may we be able to sit and wonder and wait for what God is doing in our midst. We are reminded to look for promises being fulfilled, even if we only catch a glimpse of it in this in-between time of the already and the not yet. But Zechariah's hymn makes clear that true peace in our hearts and in our world will come only when we are right with God and we've laid aside our own ambitions and passions, or at least turn them over to God. As the weary world rejoices, may we be agents of that rejoicing and not add to the weariness. May we do that through truth. May we do that through compassion. Next week, we'll talk about restoration. I believe the last week, I have to look again. And I hope you'll come join me. Let us pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the promises that we experience, from the promise of before we were born in our mother's womb, of your love that you have for us, that we were created in your image. That as we grow and as we develop, Lord, may we continue to lean upon those promises. May we continue to strengthen our relationship with you each and every day. God, we thank you for your compassion that you have for us. May we extend that compassion to others. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.